Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let's go!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Deshaun Watson has been suspended.
Deshaun, he wants to be the best version of himself.
6 regular season games and no fine.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The headline from here is simple. It's not enough.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Tom Pelissero, Basketball Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal, Vikings running back Dalvin Cook, still to come, comedian Paul Verzi, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, we got an interesting third hour with an in-studio guest, a comedian, Paul Verzi, is going to be joining us here, his second hour-long stand-up special, Nocturnal Admissions, is available for streaming on Netflix. That premiered in June. And he's here. I had to say that way, you know.
Well done. That was nice. Like the Staten Island Advance.
Yes. Yes. One would look at that erstwhile publication and call it the Staten Island Advance, but no, in Staten Island, we always put the accent on the first syllable, the Advance. Oh, Advance, man, what are you doing here? That's what I heard when I stopped by. Yo, Advance, man, what's up? You got the paper?
Were you good at selling those things?
I wasn't selling them, Chris. I was a staff writer.
Oh, what were you selling? What newspaper were you selling before? I didn't mix that up. Yeah, you were selling papers at one point.
Yes. I had two jobs that helped me pay for the prom.
Right.
High School. I was a checkout clerk at both Walbaum's and Pathmark.
Wow!
Back in the day, double coupon days.
Oh yeah,
like were Wednesday? Very, very, very trying for me because I did not know. I had no idea on my produce. Like I had no idea.
Oh, I was a produce guy, Rich.
Dude,
I worked in produce.
You could tell a difference between a Gala apple and a Macintosh apple. You knew all that stuff. The different types of pears.
Macintosh,
I didn't know, honestly. I didn't know a kiwi from a kumquat.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea.
Double kiwi.
And so you know, if you weren't checking things out, and this was at the outset of the scanners.
Oh no!
We're talking early '80s here, like '83.
Yeah, that's what
84, 85.
So you were right.
I graduated high school in 1986. So anyway, long story short, the other job was cold calling Staten Island and Brooklyn residents.
Okay.
At the hours of 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Saturdays.
Not a good time to be waking people up.
To ask them if they wanted to purchase the New York Post.
The Post.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Just cold calling. Okay.
So you just had a list, or you were going through the phone book?
Yeah, the prefix, and then you were given like the last four digits, and you would just call it.
Remember, this is like
you would call it.
Yeah,
was a voice of some junior in high school waking people up in Brooklyn and Staten Island.
The original robocaller, Rich,
to ask them if they wished to purchase a subscription to the New York Post. I heard some of the most colorful language that I hadn't heard. The next time I heard it was Deadwood, when I watched Deadwood.
Deadwood episode.
Some of the language I heard. But I got through it, and I helped pay for the portion of the champagne-colored limousine that chauffeured me and my date and others to the main event in New Jersey before we were shuttled to Dangerfield's Comedy Club in the Upper East Side of Manhattan, where we did not have the proper identification to enter legally. My prom story, and I'm sticking to it.
Pretty good.
Didn't think I was going to tell that story, but Dalvin Cook is not answering the call.
Rich, I was just telling Chris, the last job I had in Pittsburgh before I moved to L.A.,
yes.
I was in the marketing and circulation department for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
How'd that work for you?
It was great. Man, I worked like 4 or 5 hours a day. We would set up in grocery stores, a little kiosk in a grocery store, and I would strike up conversations with people and get them to buy subscriptions to the newspaper.
That is an art, by the way.
It really was,
getting
man.
People to like, do that.
To get people to stop. That they don't want to stop.
No wonder you're so good at this, TJ, is that you have to, there's an art of being, you know, conversant and
you have to, yeah.
And nice and approachable.
I did really good at that job too.
I bet it would
sometimes we go to like, you know, arts festivals, and I remember Tiger had a huge golf tournament in Pittsburgh with Mario Lemieux. We'd go there. We'd do little things around town, but our job mostly was just to go to like grocery stores and just sit there and
conversely,
do that.
Let's just put you in Brooklyn, New York in 1985.
Okay. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, let's say
hey, how you doing?
Let's say you've just put in a 60-hour work week at your job.
Okay.
And you're gonna sleep in, man, on Saturday.
Okay.
A phone rings at 8:01 in the morning.
Ring ring.
Asking you, how would you like to get a year's subscription to the New York Post?
I'd say,
man, I wasn't good at it.
No. Shout out to us for being former newspaper men.
Right? I used to deliver the newspaper.
There you go.
I loved it.
That's how you became a cop.
I knew the streets.
The mean streets of New Jersey.
I learned
Jersey.
The streets well.
All right. This is the moment.
Thank God Dalvin Cook's calling in right now.
No. What? Why? You don't want to hear more of Mike Del Tufo's?
It's like DJ me.
I'm over Mike's childhood.
All right. I believe he's on. I believe our Pro Bowl friend Rudy from the Minnesota Vikings is on. Fresh off of 19,000 yards rushing in a single season last year. That's how much he had. I looked it up. He's that good. The Pro Bowl running back, the man who helps the Minnesota Vikings go the way that they can go, is Dalvin Cook on the Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line back here on the show. How you doing, Dalvin Cook?
I'm doing good, Rich.
Did you miss me? I'll be on it. Be honest. Did you miss me?
Always got to get on a call with my guy. Always.
I missed you, Dalvin. I'm not going to lie. I missed you. It's been months. It's been too long. How's your life been? What's going on with you?
It's been good. It's been good. The offseason's been good. I've been down in Miami. Training, spending Fantastic. Time with my brother, my family.
Yep.
He got drafted, so that was exciting for us.
I saw that.
So that's been it. Just been getting everything together for the season.
I think the last time I heard from you, again, it wasn't specifically to me or at me. It was towards NFL Network because we simulcammed you with your brother at the combine. Was he a little bit faster than you? Dalvin?
Yeah, he ran faster than me at the combine. He did.
I noticed that.
He rubbed it in my face, too.
Well, I hope we didn't have so. Well, I guess we had something to do with it because we decided to actually overlay his run over yours. So we saw that just to make sure he was as fast as what we saw. And personally, as a University of Michigan Wolverine, I'm glad your brother left college. I'm very, very happy. He made my New Year's Eve miserable, personally.
Yeah, he had a good game.
He sure did. So let me just hit on him a little bit here. Because to me, I thought that was one of the steals of the draft, and he's exactly who the Buffalo Bills could use in this offense and use. How do you think he's going to fare in Buffalo?
I think he's going to do good. Just talking to him and, just being around him and spending more time with him because, obviously he didn't get to spend – as much time with him because he was in college and I was doing my thing.
Yes.
But now that we got an offseason under our belt and he understands, what he's trying to get done and how he's trying to get it done. And, me implementing a lot of things that I do just in his game and just letting him be him. Like I always tell him, just be you. And like you said, I think he fits right into what they do and what Josh Allen do in their offensive scheme. And, a lot of people don't know, he's bigger than what they think and he can run between the tackles. And obviously he can catch the football, so that's a plus for them. And I talk to him every week. He says he's having fun, he's enjoying the moment, and I'm just looking forward to some big things from him this year.
Well, I mean, he's going to have 8 games under his belt by the time he runs into your defense, and you're going to be in Buffalo. What's that week going to be like for the Cook household, Dalvin?
It's going to be fun for the family. This is something new for us, having 2 cooks in the league, having the brothers in the NFL, so. I told my family, pick sides wisely. I'm still a big brother.
Yeah.
In the family.
No. I don't mean to stir up family dissension here, Dalvin. But are we going to make up jerseys? I mean, the half purple, half, you know, blue? Or can we, or you won't even deal with that? Like, there's
got
to be a side
show. We got something in the works. We sit down as a family. They got something in the works. They're going to go half and half. Okay. But where they're going to sit, that's going to be the thing. Might have to get a box for the family or something.
Well, I mean, it might be cold. And plus, James is a rookie, so you might have to front that, you know?
Might have to take care of him.
Dalvin, I mean, Dalvin, you're the veteran here. I mean, your brother's a rookie. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I got it.
I mean, they're putting you in a position, but I think, you know, you might have to step up for that one. But that'll be great. I mean, and so congratulations on that, seeing your brother get drafted, and then you're going to play each other in Week 10. Dalvin Cook here on the Rich Eisen Show. So how's this offense going to be different? Walk me through Kevin O'Connell bringing the Rams feel to this scenario. How is it going to look different, Dalvin, in Minnesota?
It's going to be different. It's going to be different in a bunch of ways. They're going to see guys in different places. No, we obviously don't know what's ahead of us until we go out there and do it. You know, but we've been practicing a lot of different things. KO and Wes has a big brain when you put it together. It's a big brain. It's fun to be around those guys and to see how they think and see how they operate and to see how they want to attack people. So, you know, it's gonna be a lot of fun, you know, this upcoming year to see the matchups and see how teams play us. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to the matchups and to see how this thing work out.
Well, I don't want you to tell too many tales out of school, but is it going to be similar to what the Rams have been doing, which is, not many different formations, but running a ton of different plays out of the same formation to create problems and folks won't know where you might be winding up post-snap? I mean, is that the way it's going to run in Minnesota?
I really didn't watch the Rams offense, to be honest.
Okay.
I really didn't watch because, in the years before me, I was in a different system that I ran something totally different. So I really didn't pay attention to what they did because it wasn't nothing that I needed to pay attention to.
Okay.
So I really didn't watch their offense. So, but, you know, it's going to be some problems. It's going to be some things that people got to pay attention to.
Some problems. So how does it suit you then? How does the new way of doing things suit you in a way, Dalvin Cook?
I'm today's back. If you want to ask me, I can do it all. So wherever they want to put me at, I'm a runner. I'm a catcher, blocker. Whatever it is, wherever they want to insert me at, I'm gonna get the job done. So that's how I fit in this game. You know, they can put me wherever they want to put me at, and I could be a chess piece for this offense.
Today's back, I like that. Okay, so you're today's back, and tomorrow's too, right? I mean, you could say that too.
Yeah, the day after that.
Not yesterday's. You're today's back, and you're tomorrow's back, Dalvin.
We look forward.
Looking forward. Okay, you know, it's interesting. I've seen some quotes from Justin Jefferson talking about being a top five, top three wide receiver. He's definitely I think he's looking at Madden rankings. He's looking at what these receivers and, you know, after 3 years are getting paid. And he's kind of saying things with his chest these days. Dalvin, are you getting that from Justin Jefferson?
As he should. You know, as I be with him each and every day, and as I be with him more, I be with him a lot. You know, the way he works kind of matches the way he not kind of it matches the way he carries himself, the way he's talking. So, you know, I back him 100%. You know, I believe he's, you know, top two in the league, if not one. But, you know, that's just how I feel. The way he works on the practice field, the way he goes about his business, the way he communicates, the way he's matured over the years that when he first came in, you know, you see the vocal leader coming out of him, just the leadership role, and him still going out there and making plays. I think that's big time for our offense, and just seeing that come from Justin is going to help us a lot this year. So, you know, I back him 100% on everything that he says.
And how about Cousins? Because this system that you referred to, KO, Kevin O'Connell, the new HC there in Minnesota, that this McVay, if you will, system, this was born out of the Shanahan era when Cousins got drafted. Like, this is the offense essentially that is built for Cousins and Cousins is built for. Do you see any difference in him, any confidence level difference in him going in, Dalvin?
Yeah,
so far?
I see him grow every year. But, you know, you see how comfortable he is with KO, and, you know, from day one you've seen the relationship between those guys, and, you know, that's what we needed. We needed that for our guy back there, because, you know, Kurt can sling that rock. He can take us where we want to go, and we firmly believe that as a group and as a team. So, you know, having KO come in and be that security blanket to help take us to the next level, I think that's going to be good for Kurt and our team.
All right, Dalvin Cook, walk me through week one. What is it going to look like, Green Bay in your house? People chanting skull and you going out there.
It's going to be crazy. Back. It's going to be loud. No Devontae Adams. We got Za'Darius over there on the defense, him and Daniel.
That's right. That's right.
Back there coming off the edge.
That's right.
Pat P back. It's going to be fun. It's going to be one of those things to where it's going to be as hyped as it can be. We just got to go out there and control our emotions from play one and kind of just go out there and do our thing and show the world, you know, what we've been working for all this time, these OTAs, this mini camp, training camp, and all the time we've been putting in, all the things we've been sacrificing. You know, it's going to be for this season and go for what we're trying to hold up that trophy at the end.
Yeah, we spoke to Za'Darius a couple months ago after he signed with Minnesota. It's sad he doesn't have much to say, that guy. He didn't say anything. He hardly said a word. Oh, wait a minute. He's the exact opposite of that. Oh, my God.
I mean, That's Z right there.
Oh, yeah. And
I was like, hold up.
I had you. You're like, where are you going with that? Because he's probably going to be all spun up for that game. That's for sure, yeah. In week one. That is going to be
huge. My guy under control, man. We're going to keep him under control so he can get out to that pass every snap.
All right, and I got to start something because I spoke to Aaron Jones last week, and, you know, he's Green Bay's number one back. You are, as you referred to yourself, today's back. He has a theory I'd like to bounce off you. He says he wants to – he thinks that cereal, Dalvin Cook, is soup. What do you think? Would you categorize cereal as soup, Dalvin Cook? What do you think?
I kind of feel where you're coming from. But if you put soup in the category of being hot and cold, I think that's where the difference is, cereal and soup. But the form, the shape, the liquid, everything is the same. Though it gets in the same way. If you leave it sitting enough, it's gonna turn into soup. Mm-hmm. But you know, soup is hot and cereal is, I don't know if nobody eats cereal hot, but
I can't imagine.
You know, cereal is cold, but I kind of see where you're coming from. I feel you, AJ. That's my guy. I feel you.
I know he is. Absolutely. You know, he's got cereal. Are you going to get a cereal? Why don't you get a cereal, Dalvin?
Well, I got a lot of things coming, man.
What do you got?
You know, it'd be perfect timing.
Okay.
You know, I'd be kind of just putting my head down and working and letting my team work for me. So whatever they bring to the table, we go after it.
What would you, if you could create your own cereal, what would it be? If you could create your own cereal, what would you got?
He went cinnamon
crunch square, just in case you're wondering.
Cinnamon toast square.
He went cinnamon square cereal. He calls them touchdown squares. That's what he calls them. So what about you? Let's get something going here, because I can't have you beaten within your own division. Yeah, what would it be, like a cookie crunch or something? What would you go with?
You took the words out of my mouth right there. That was kind of crazy. Because a lot of people call me Cookie, so it got to be something with like some cookie.
Ooh.
Cookie. I like Cinnamon Toast Crunchy. That's my favorite cereal.
It's got the best milk,
cereal.
Dalvin.
Like, that's probably everybody's favorite cereal. I don't know.
Cookie
Toast Crunch, something like that. I don't know.
How about Dalvin's Cookie Crunch? What about
That'd be good.
I don't know. Is there like a trademark on the Cookie Crunch? I don't know. Dalvin's Cookie Crunch. Let's go for it and see if they sue you.
How about a YouTube show, Dalvin
Let's
Cooks?
Start the promotion right now.
There you go.
Dalvin Cooks.
There we go. Stays crispy in Minnesota. That's what it is. That's what it goes. All right, Dalvin. I hope we left you better than we found you. Thanks for the time. Always love our chats. You go crush it.
Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, let's talk as the season goes along. I'd appreciate that.
So I got you.
Right back at you. Thank you, sir. That's Dalvin Cook, Pro Bowl running back in Minnesota.
Florida State Seminole.
You could see he's just even saying, what's it going to be like week one? He's just like, oh, boy. What a sneaky good week one game that one is. Kevin O'Connell and the newfangled Minnesota Vikings offense built for Kirk Cousins. Didn't Daniel Jeremiah say that you have to swear fealty to Kirk Cousins if you're in the Sean McVay family? Didn't he say something along those lines?
Something like that.
And here comes Kevin O'Connell. Perfect.
You like that?
Yes. Cousins did. And he's like, no Devontae Adams, the first thing he said. I forgot Za'Darius Smith was on the Vikings. I don't know how I could, because that was one of our favorite interviews of what, March or the hell going on month, right? Yep. Or April?
Yep, yep.
Here we go. All right, we'll take a break. If you're on hold, stay on hold. You're going to enjoy the conversation with our next guest in studio, the comedian Paul Verzi, a fellow New Yorker, when we come back right here on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. And we are back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, one big happy family with our Peacock and Sirius XM family. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We will take your phone calls before the end of the hour. Comedian Paul Verzi is here on the program. Again, we just saw a clip, hilarious, man.
Thank you.
From your second Netflix special called Nocturnal Admissions. It's your first, pardon me, my bad.
Second special, first.
Second special, first that you've done here. It's your second hour-long stand-up special. At any rate, it's directed by Pete Davidson, a fellow Staten Islander of mine. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Westchester. I was born in Yonkers. I'm a Westchester guy. Yeah.
Okay, so you grew up at the Raceway? You went to the Raceway?
Dad used to take us to the Raceway and took us to a lot of places we shouldn't have been. My dad's a wild one.
Right.
Yeah, like I saw gambling at the age of four. It was...
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad was into Broadway show tunes, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, not lying. You know, it's amazing that I'm here talking sports every single day, to be honest with you. Right, so let's get into it. Pete Davidson's directing your special.
Yes.
And you've known him for a long time, right?
Yeah, I love Pete, man. And Pete is so funny because he's so laid back and chill, and he's such a misunderstood guy. Mm-hmm. But like the type of friend Pete Davidson is. So one Saturday night I'm off, and that's rare for comics to be off on a Saturday.
Yes.
Wife, kids sleeping. So I'm like, let me go outside, smoke a cigar as I do, you know, and just scrolling through the phone. Who can I call? It's Saturday night. I'm just scrolling. So I said, oh, I haven't talked to Petey in a while. Mm-hmm. So I call Pete, and he answers, and he just goes like, hello? And I go, hey, man, what's going on? He goes, no, I'm just at work. I look at, it's 11:45. He's on SNL. He answered the phone, and I go, dude, what are you answering the phone for if you're on a live TV show? And he just goes, oh, I just want to make sure you're good, man. You're good. Like, he's the best. And that's the type of guy Pete is. But the way, you know when somebody answers with work voice?
Yeah.
He did that at SNL. He did that at Saturday Night Live while it was going on. Just because he's got everything good. And I'm like, yeah, everything's, don't answer, you lunatic. You can call me back in 15 minutes.
You know, I there are people, though, that sometimes will call. Like, I'll look down at my phone. Okay,
yeah.
During the show,
yeah,
and they know me very well, and they're calling me here,
yeah,
and you know, they're, and I'll look down, I'm like, they know what I'm doing right now.
I know.
So I would think in a commercial break, I'll call them.
Yeah.
Like, is everything all right? You know, like, you should know.
Yeah.
See, you just totally spaced on a Saturday night that I'm going to call, see what Pete's up to.
Yeah, my wife does what you said.
Okay.
Like, I'll tell my wife. Like, I turn my phone off. She'd probably call that. Like, yeah, I'm doing a Rich Eisen show. I'll be out. She'd probably call it three times. My wife calls. She calls and she calls. If my wife was president, Putin would have sent Brittany Grenier back. You're like, enough. Just send her. Just send.
She grinds people down.
Listen, I don't want to paint my wife's great. My wife's great. She's organized, opposite of me, because you need that yin and yang.
Yes.
But my wife is just, you know, she's ready. She's calling.
Yeah.
She's calling. She's prepared. She's there on me.
Yeah.
You know.
But, so you never, so like, it's kind of like a slot machine when you're done here with this segment, this appearance. Yeah. You look down at your phone. It could be anything, right? It could be absolutely anything from your wife.
Yeah.
That's coming. You know,
yeah.
It's like you pull the one-armed bandit. Either the money's coming out or it's not. Right?
That's
right. Pretty much the way it's going to work.
That's right.
I kind of
that's right.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Paul Verzi, the comedian here on The Rich Eisen Show. How'd you meet Bill Burr? How'd you come across him? You guys do a podcast together. Anything better?
Yeah. So I opened for Bill years ago, like early, probably like 2006, 2007. And he's heard laughs. He didn't see. He goes, man, were you the other guy on the show? I'm here. He's like, I'm going to watch. And he watched and we just hit it off. And I'm a New York sports guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Boston sports guy.
Yeah.
So we had that. And he, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm younger. I'm a generation under. So I think he kind of saw the East Coast kind of connection that we had with sports. And then that was the rest is history, man.
Yeah. Whenever he comes on here, we have conversations and he accuses me of trying to trigger him. You know,
it doesn't take much with certain things.
Well, I mean, but he, you know, I like to tell him that Boston sports fans are not happy unless they're unhappy. And he kind of flipped it on saying that it was my unhappiness that's really at play here, that it's more about me, not really about him. That, did I get that right, Chris? Isn't that what he said that, like multiple times?
Yeah, basically that you're just jealous because we've won so much. Mm. And so why are you trying to make me be unhappy? Because we're happy. We win a lot.
Yeah. No, they don't. Listen, those guys, those Boston, New England guys, they almost like... They like it to be miserable a little bit. Like, I remember one year the Patriots were going to be good every year.
Right.
And I would call up Bill and be like, oh, dude, you guys are good this year. Nah, not about our defense. Like, and they were just clearly a great team. And it would just be, they never would go, yeah, this could be our year. Where I'm a Giants fan. Yeah. And I think we're going to the NFC Championship this year. This year, we're going
really
to the NFC Championship.
I need to check your temperature?
But I'm also, I'm delusional, though.
Yes.
Like, I'm a diehard Knicks fan. And anytime anybody spotted in New York, I think they're coming. You know, like Seth Curry, they seen Seth Curry at JFK. I'm like, he's having a meeting with Dolan. He's coming. It's going to be a blockbuster trade in 3 hours, I'm telling you right now. And I'll actually, you know, I was convinced LeBron was coming. I was convinced KD, all them were coming. I'm one of those.
Well, Durant did come. He just went to Brooklyn.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not, you know, that's not New York.
That's it. That's a Knicks fan right there.
That's not New York.
That's a Knicks fan.
And there's nothing more disgraceful. There's nothing more disgraceful, Rich, than somebody that was a Knicks fan that became a Brooklyn Nets fan. They're dead to me. That can't happen.
I don't blame you for that.
You can't do that. If you were a New Jersey Nets fan, fine, have at it. But if you were a Knicks fan and you said, I know guys that are going, I can't take it anymore, I'm jumping ship. You can't. It's over. You can't. That's the worst thing for me.
I jump ship entirely because of what happened to Charles Oakley. I'm done. I'm not even rooting for anybody in New York right now. I couldn't handle it.
Are you a Knicks fan?
I am. Diehard. I grew up in Madison Square Garden.
My God.
I remember Red Holtzman, the end of his tenure, because I'm a 53-year-old guy. So Bernard King was my guy growing up. Loved him. Yeah. Ewing, I remember when he became a Knick, I thought the Bernard and Patrick show would be incredible. And, you know, then obviously Bernard got hurt. It hardly ever happened. Lived and died through all of the Checkets years with Riley and Van Gundy. Loved it all. Hate Dolan. Can't root for the team. Period. End of story.
Can't wow.
I don't mean to go negative with you right
now.
No, here,
but you jumped when
over. Oh, done. Can't
they
do
did escort Oakley out like he was a drunk civilian fan. It's ridiculous.
I mean, they should hang a banner from the rafters for him, as far as I'm concerned.
Oakley was
the man. I know that.
I would do anything for it. But I'm excited. I would do anything for a Knicks championship. I'm really excited about the Giants. The Giants, I think they had a brilliant, brilliant draft. I think that kid Evan Neal from Alabama is what you know Jones needed. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but the thing is, like, everybody's like, I don't know about Jones. Here's the one thing about New York fans that bother me, though. Yeah. There's half of them that are great and half of them that are truly dummies. Just dumb. You know, like, I remember I was Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football, and I'm sitting, the Rams are in town, and a guy's sitting behind me, and he's just going, you know what, dude? He goes, I don't know about this Eli guy. It's like, what, you don't know about two parades that he brought here? What do you don't know? What don't you know? Like, I don't know about this guy. Just miraculous on the road.
Yeah.
Comebacks in the fourth quarter, beating Brady twice, undefeated. What don't you know about? There was this thing. They had this, but they, you know, they booed Jeter when he went 0 for 33 on a slide.
Yeah.
They booed Mariano. That I can't, that I, you know.
I'm with you, too. I'm a diehard Yankee fan, and I'm locked in right now.
Oh, we're on the same.
We are. I'm from Staten Island. My brother loved and I'm from the era of you rooted for the teams because of the stadiums they played in. So my brother was a Met, Jet, and
it's
Nick.
Always, yeah.
Okay, that's what he was, a Met, Jet, Nick.
Yeah.
And so I got into the Jets, and then I realized the Mets weren't winning jack. And then Thurman Munson became my favorite player. Catfish Hunter came to the Yankees, and then Reggie right after, 76, 77, 78. I've been locked in ever since.
Yeah.
Ever since. And I love those guys. And it's interesting, Paul Verzey here on the Rich Eisen Show. What you said just moments ago about you'd call up Bill Burr and you'd say to Bill, and again, you guys do the Anything Better podcast together. And so that you would call Bill up before the season and it looked like, you know, another Patriot year because it was Brady and Belichick and the Patriots were the Patriots. They were the Patriots. And he's like, yeah, I don't like the defense. I don't like the defense. And you're like sitting there, what are you talking about? And the interesting thing is right there, it proves my point that Boston fans are not happy unless they're unhappy. And then when they say that, I don't believe in the defense, there's got a problem. And then suddenly they rip off 10 wins in a row. And then suddenly it's like, nobody ever believed in us. Right. They flip it right on its head. And then Brady will go out there in the parade going to win the Super Bowl that we all know he was going to go win and say, nobody believes in us. Let's rally around the nobody believes in his flag. And it's just like all those people are like, yeah, Tommy. And it's just like every last one of you were bitching about the defense 12 weeks ago.
You want to know what it is, Rich?
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's a defense mechanism that they have because they're scared. They're scared, it's a defense. Deep down inside, it's like a child who doesn't want to be hurt. So that's what they do. And then when when good things happen, they can gloat
and blame it on other people.
Yeah,
don't take responsibility for their own doubts.
You're getting me fired up, dude.
This is it. We've cracked the code.
Yeah, and
tell that to Burr next time. Let me see, will you please?
We've gotten into arguments. I remember I was at State College. I was at State College performing.
Okay.
And I walk into the hotel, and this is when I started moving up in the business, and I didn't like the hotel room, okay? Not that I'm a diva, but it's like, I'm not staying here.
All right.
You know, look at this. There's a rug. It looked like 1997. I'm like, I'm not staying here. Mm. So I'm on the phone. I'm on the phone with Burr, and I go, we're just talking, and I go, hey, man, I'm sorry. Just give me a second. And he goes, what's wrong? I go, this room's terrible. This is what am I? I'm not staying. And Bill goes, you know, listen, man, you're making moves. You're coming up. Go to another hotel. I go, yeah, you know what? You're right. And I put my bag down and I'm about to get off the phone with him. Mm-hmm. We got into an argument about Montana Brady. This is when Brady had three or four rings.
Okay.
And we got into an argument, Montana Brady, screaming at each other. I'm not exaggerating. Screaming at each other in this hotel room I hated for 3 hours that it got too late. I had to stay there. I couldn't even check in. I had to stay because of the lunacy that went on. The insults, the screaming, and I stayed in a horrible hotel room because I yelled with him for 3 hours.
And I assume you took the Montana side of things?
No.
You took the Brady side of things?
Yeah. I did. I said, Brady. I said, Brady is the greatest. I said, Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. And it's just what it is.
So you took the Brady side of things,
and he said,
Montana.
You can't say that yet. He was being a contrarian. He said, you can't say that yet. You know, Montana went to 4, won 4. I'm going, but look what this kid's doing. Look what this kid has and everything. And it turned into a screaming thing.
Did you now bring it up to Bill that you were right all along?
When he got to like 6 or 7, I was like, are we going to do this anymore? when is this done?
I'm going to change rooms, are we man.
Listen,
I'm going to change rooms. Yeah. We got to get this thing settled, man.
Yeah, that's exactly
I've been
right.
Stuck in State College for 5 years.
I finally went across the street to the better hotel. Thanks to Tom Brady. Yeah, it's so true.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So you're going, speaking of Pennsylvania, you're going to spend some time there in September, Pottstown, PA, and then you're going to London first week of October.
Well, you know why.
Is it the game the Giants are going?
I called my agent and I said, buddy, I said, my New York football Giants are playing. I said, I'm taking Stacy and the kids. Let's get a date. And he said, all right, well, I'll put you, you're going to perform it in Soho and on Friday, and then you're going to go to the game on Sunday.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that's
look
what I'm
at
doing.
You.
I mean, I have to. So my G-men are in London. I've never been to London. My family has never been to London. So that's what we're going to do. We got to do that, you know?
I got to tell you, it's an incredible experience. So let me see here. You're taking, the Packers, dude.
Packers, yeah.
What a game, too.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Packers have ever played in London either. That's their first trip to London. Yeah, I believe it is.
Now, do you agree with my Giants assessment, or you don't think? You think the Giants...
NFC Championship
game? I think, no, I'm going to say regular season games, I got them 9 or 10. What do you have? 8?
Let's do it. Giant schedule. Throw it up.
Here we go.
Oh, let's do it.
Come on, boys. Let's go.
This is what we're going to do
here.
Here
you go, Paul. Look at the monitor.
I love
look
it.
Look at the monitor.
Hold on. This is what we do here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's called the win-loss game.
I love it.
Okay. We give you NFL Films music. Speaking of New Jersey, this is from straight from Mount Laurel, New Jersey, that music.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to walk us through the schedule, and we're going to figure it out.
Okay.
Win-loss. All right, with the comedian Paul Verzi, and you can check out Nocturnal Admissions right now on Netflix. His comedy special premiered late in June. The Giants premiere first Sunday of the season at the Tennessee Titans. Win or loss, Paul Verzi, win or loss.
The Giants going to win that game by 3.
Look at that. You can even give me a score. Home for the Carolina Panthers, week 2.
Disappointing loss.
Wow. Okay. And by the way, I love the adjectives. Disappointing loss. All right. home for the Cowboys Monday Night Football week 3.
Loss.
Home for the Chicago Bears week 4.
Win.
All right. So they go 1-2 on the stretch of 3 straight home games. That would not be good. And now they're in Green Bay. taking on the Packers.
No, they're in London.
Oh, pardon me. Yeah, taking on Green Bay. Right.
That's a win.
Taking in London, you, of course, because you're going there. Home for the Ravens.
That's a win.
Win. At the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's a win.
At the Seattle Seahawks.
It's a loss.
Wow. They're 4-4. So you got them 5-3 going into their their bye.
Yeah, because that's where Jones is going to hit his stride.
At, coming out of the bye, home against the Texans.
Win.
Home against the Lions.
An oddly loss.
An oddly loss. At the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Win.
Home for the Washington Commanders.
Loss.
Home for the Eagles.
Loss.
At the Washington Commanders.
Win.
At the Vikings on Christmas Eve, Saturday night. Saturday afternoon. What do you got?
Win.
Home for the Colts on New Year's Day.
Loss.
At the Eagles to wrap things up.
Loss.
Wow, you got them sweeping to the Eagles. Okay, so you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 wins. You got them 9-8. Paul Verzi, that's a very, I think, you know, pie in the sky.
So how many you think, man, I'm off by? Gun
to your
head.
You might be off by two. I look, man, I love Dable. I love him.
Yeah.
I think he's terrific. I need to see their offensive line before I believe it. That's it. Because they just been stinking on ice on that front, and they can't protect the thing.
I know.
And Saquon gets hurt. And, you know, but if ever, let's just say staying healthy, I love Tony.
I love Tony.
Okay. Tony.
Exciting kid.
If he's right.
Yeah.
Okay. And Galladay, I mean, right? I mean, there's so many. I don't know. Saquon. Yeah. And Daboll, I really like. I really like him. And the defense comes along, you might surprise some people. But, you know, you can't go from as terrible as they've been to suddenly 9-8 when we think. You can, but maybe they.
Well,
you know.
I think that I watched Saquon closely. And Saquon, to me, looked like he was afraid to make cuts. He looked like he was afraid to do what he did when he first got to the league. And I think now he's removed from that, and I think he's mentally away from that. Mm-hmm. And I like this Thibodeau kid, and I like that Strahan. Yeah. I like that Strahan is oh, my God, Michael Strahan came to the comedy club.
Yeah.
Do I have time to tell you this?
Sure, yeah.
So I'm on stage in New York City at the stand. Strahan's right next to the stage. He's right next to me, and I'm telling jokes. And I hear him laughing, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I don't get starstruck by, like, movies for me, it's athletes.
Yeah.
Athletes. So I'm just going, dude, Michael Strahan's laughing at me right now. This is amazing. So we go outside afterwards, and somebody goes, hey, man, nobody asked Michael for anything. He wanted to enjoy himself, and he had a friend in there. Just no pictures, nothing. So I'm like, all right, you know, it's fine. So Mike Strahan comes out, and he sees me. He was, oh, man, so funny. So now I'm like, oh, this is the best. And he was, and he, I said, oh, dude, yeah, you mind if I'm a big Giants fan, take a picture? And I said the dumbest thing to him as we take the picture, my arm is around his back.
Yeah.
As we take the picture as a grown man, I don't know what came over me. I go, 07 changed my life. What? I have children. I'm a grown man with children. And it was
and a
like
loving wife.
And
a
it
loving
was
wife.
Right it was right as the picture was being taken, and I almost whispered it. It was the weirdest, and he was probably like, all right, dude, that was take care. And if I ever see him again, I'm gonna be like, no, it didn't change my life. You know, it made me feel good. But you can't say that to a guy like that.
Now you're creeping me out. And we'll send this to Stray. Stray, we'll see this. We'll straighten this out.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. Next time you see Strahan, there will not be a restraining order. You will be able to get within 100 yards of Michael Strahan. Don't worry about it, Paul Verzi. You're good. You're good. Everybody check out his new special, Nocturnal Admissions, available now for streaming on Netflix. It's been available since June 23rd. To check out Paul, if you're in Pottstown, PA, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, PA, or London, England, the U.K., go to paulverzi.com to get your tickets. And check out the Verzi Effect podcast and the Anything Better podcast with Bill Burke. Good to see you, sir.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun. Thank you.
And, you know, and I'm so glad that you came on here because I said the only way that the Yankees will ever be able to trade away Joey Gallo is if Paul Verzi arrives. And you did, and they just did.
Did they?
To the Dodgers?
Yes.
Dodgers.
What'd they get?
Doesn't
matter.
Unclear.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Unclear. Doesn't matter.
Oh, wow. That's all right.
Doesn't matter. He wasn't a fit here. Let him come here. There it is. For Beater. Who's the Beater?
Oh, he's a prospect.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Does Beater do more than just strike out, walk, or hit a home run? Whoever Beater is, we're happy to have him. Oh, and there's a big Red Sox trade when we come back. Hey. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
We're back.
Baby.
We're
thanks
back.
For coming on, Paul.
Thanks for having me, man.
The trade deadline's later today. Sneak in some more news and your calls in a moment. Chrome Soft Golf Balls. There is definitely one version of Chrome Soft Golf Balls that suits your game. I use the Chrome Soft. There's the Chrome Soft X and the Chrome Soft XLS, depending on what you need for your game. If you want something with a lower spin, if you need something that actually gets a little bit more of a tour level short game control, excellent spin consistency, that's the Chrome Soft X. The longer shots, firmer feel, high spin around the greens, that's a Chrome Soft XLS. The bottom line is the precision technology that every Chrome Soft is enhanced with helps design techniques and manufacturing specifications on this golf ball up to 1/1000th of an inch, which ensures they're the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls available. So when you add it all up, it's pretty simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best, and it's better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. Spencer in Nashville, Tennessee, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's going on?
I just wanted to let you know, Rich, it was 1994. I was at an all-star game, and it was a pre-game reception, and I just happened to be lucky. I was there with a sponsor. And standing together was Bill Russell, Maurice Lucas, and Paul Silas. And I walked up to those guys, and I said, Mr. Russell, you've brought me a lot of misery. I'm from Philadelphia. Over the years, you've brought me a lot of misery. Mm. And I'm just glad to meet you. I said, Mr. Silas, when you were with the Celtics, you brought me a lot of misery. And I'm from Philadelphia. And I said, Maurice Lucas, you really stuck a dagger in my heart. And that game, the finals against the 76ers, we went up 2-0, and you and Bill Walton came back and took us in 6. I just wanted to let you guys know you brought me a lot of grievance, but I'm so glad to meet you. And I just wanted to let you know, you guys are really something, and I'm glad you let me grieve to you in person.
What
they
say?
They all looked at me. Bill Russell started laughing. Paul Silas started laughing. And Maurice Lucas, he put a smile on his face. He said, well, my brother, we had to do what we had to do. I said, well, you did it. And I said, thank you for letting me grieve to you on this night. I said, okay. And then I walked away, man, you know, so. That has been a highlight of my life, meeting all three of those guys.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Spencer. Thanks for holding on during the last couple interviews for that. Jeff in Buffalo, New York. We got about a minute for you. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how are you doing? I want to start Brockman. I agree with you. Celtics, I'm a lifelong Celtics fan. They don't want or need KD.
Totally agree.
They've always had great team concept. So whether it's Garnett, Allen, Pierce, or back to the days of Bill Russell, always great team concept, and KD just seems to be too individualistic. If he couldn't stick with the Warriors, then I wouldn't want him on the Celtics. I grew up watching Bill Russell on TV, Chris Schenkel and company, Jack Twyman. But I saw the 70s versions of the Celtics as a student at Boston University. And they were still... Russell was still around the team. He was a commentator. I grew up in Boston, and Boston has a very mixed history with Bill Russell. He loves the team, but the fans, his relationship was mixed. My relationship was mixed. When Russell died, I thought of a friend of mine who lost his life in the 70s. And his life was lost because in Brookline, Mass., someone thought he looked too Puerto Rican.
Mm.
And so his life was taken. So when Russell, whose life was so much more rich off the court, I watched Jim Brown and Kareem back when he was Lou Alcindor come forward and fight for what I'm still fighting for. I'm an elementary school teacher talking to my students, my athletes. Bill Russell meant so much to me as a person of color, to the city. That's Boston grew up learning to love him and everybody he touched, whether it was on TV, whether it was as a commentator, whether it was that laugh.
Well, Jeff,
I grew up revering him.
Jeff, I appreciate the 2 cents. Thanks for hanging on to give us that on Bill Russell. I want to thank Shaquille O'Neal for lending us his thoughts on Bill Russell. And also, that was fun with Paul Verzey and Dalvin Cook. My gosh, what a pleasure. So we know where Eric Hosmer wound up. Not with the Padres and not with the Nationals. He is in Boston.
Yeesh.
Where he will now play first base in replacing Frenchy Scissorhands there.
Hey, man, Dahlback.
Anybody who's been watching Red Sox baseball this year, truly some of the worst first base play you'll ever see.
Those bad news bears.
I mean, oh my gosh. Eric Hosmer's coming to town, man.
All right, let's go. Pumped. And San Diego's paying most of the money.
There you
go. Let's go.
Okay. All right, here we go. So,
we're back. Energy
Bob
shifting.
Back, him and Tommy Pham, the energy is shifting.
The Red Sox.
We are back. Currently in 10th place, I believe, in the American
Woo-hoo.
League.
Okay.
We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Davis Love III, DL3, will be joining us on tomorrow's show, and so much more. I believe Tom Pelissero will come through on his threat to appear on this program. Good guy. We're back with the Joey Gallo trade. More on Pleacock in a moment.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.